God is so good, isn't he? Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise God. You know, I just wanted to start off and just say it's such an honor to be here with the family. You know, it's such an honor for Pastor Tim to call on me to come and minister the word of God to you tonight. And I believe that I have a message for you in season, you know. You know, Pastor Tim has been talking recently, and you know, in a lot of messages he's been saying this. This one thing he's been saying, you already have your answer. You know, and that's so true. We already have our answer no matter what we're going through in life. Our answer is with us at all times. You know, we don't have to sit there and try to figure it out. We don't have to sit there and wring our hands and scratch our head and try to figure it out on our own. We always have our answer. And, you know, I've been digging into that for a while now. You know, I've had this message, you know, it came out of my heart, you know, a couple months ago. And, you know, I'm glad that I finally get to minister that. So it's good. Hallelujah. If you want to go ahead and open your Bibles with me to John chapter 5 in verse 37. And I'm going to go ahead and pray real quick here. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your word, your precious word. I thank you for this family of believers. I thank you, Father God, for the gifts and callings that are in this church and on my life as well. I thank you that as I minister the word of God tonight, I thank you that it goes out and it's easy to understand. I thank you that there is much fruit abounding in this body as the word of God is preached. And I thank you that it's a major blessing. Give you all the praise, honor, and glory for everything said tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm still finding John as well. Hallelujah. I still hear a couple pages out there. And in John 5:37, we're looking at Jesus' words here, you know. Hallelujah. We're talking about, you know, the blessing is right in front of you. That's the title of the message tonight, if you want to write that down. The blessing is always right in front of you. You know, and you may not even realize that. A lot of times I think people don't realize that your blessing is right in front of your face, right smack dab there, and you just don't even realize it. You're looking to the left, you're looking to the right, you're looking up, you're looking down, and it's right there. It's right there. You know, and the Jews, they had a blessing right there in front of their face, and they didn't even realize it. You know, Jesus himself was standing there right in front of their face, and they didn't realize it. And there was a reason for that. In verse 37, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believed not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life." Wow. Man, what a smackdown. Sitting there saying, he's like, God sent me. He bore witness of me. And if you knew the word, if you had the word abiding in you, you would know that. You know what? They were some of the most educated men of their time, of the day and age. You know, they knew that Bible back and forth, up and down, but they only had a knowledge of it. You know, that's important. I took a minute to get a definition of abide, because here it says, you have not his word abiding in you. Well, how could Jesus say that if he knew that they were some of the most knowledgeable men of the word in that day and age? How could he say that? You have not the word abiding in you. Well, that word abide, it means to stay or to live somewhere, to take residence. That's interesting. Did they have the word taking residence in their life? Have you allowed the word to take residence in you? Have you made the word a home in your own body, in your own life, so that it can abide in you, so that you don't fall trapped to what they fell trapped to? Jesus in the flesh was right there and they didn't recognize it. The Messiah, the chosen one of God, is right there in the flesh, and they couldn't even understand it because they had not the word abiding in them. How many Christians know the Bible up and down, back and forth? There's a lot of theologians out there like that nowadays, but they don't know the word of God. It's not abiding in them. It's got to abide in your spirit. It's got to come in, and it's got to change you. It's got to renew your mind. You know, we say here at Family Church, you know, we don't change the word changes us. And I think that that's what their issue was. They didn't let the word change them. That's it. They changed the word. Glory to God. They missed the blessing that was right in front of them. Matthew 23:23 is another example of this. Jesus said, "You tithe the mint and dill and cumin," you know, that Mexican food. I know they use it in India too, I guess. We've been cooking some Indian food at my house, and so we've been having a lot of cumin and all those kind of Indian spices. But they were tithing mint and dill and cumin. I'm glad I don't have to bring that. I'm glad I have some, you know, money to bring to the house of God. But they forget the weightier matters of the law, judgment, faith, and mercy. You blind guides which strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Whew. Wow. Picking and choosing what's important to you is a great way to miss your blessing. It's so true. It's a good way to miss your blessing if you're going to pick and choose what's important to you in the Word of God. Do you just look at certain passages in the Word and say, oh, that's important. Oh, this is important, but I'm going to throw that away. You know, a lot of denominations do that today. You know, they do that with the power of God. Unfortunately, they do that with the, of all things, they do that with the power of God in our lives. They say, you know, the power of God isn't for today. You know, healing isn't for today. Tongues isn't for today. Miracles, they ended. You know, they're not for today. How can they omit those things? The blessing is right in front of their face, and instead they take and they use the word to teach their people that, oh, God puts sickness on you. Oh, God puts this on you. That's why you got sick, is because God put that on you. No, there's a real enemy in the world, and he's going to try to come and attack you. But praise the Lord that we have Jesus, who gave us his authority, gave us his word, so that we could apply it. We could apply it to that situation, and it could eliminate it. But so many people are picking and choosing what they want out of the Word of God, and they're just omitting the rest. Wow. We know what to do. We have the Word of God, and God's waiting on us to do the Word. That's all there is to it. We have the Word of God, and he's just waiting for us to do it. Our answer is right in front of us. The blessing that we need is right in front of us. We don't have to go searching here and there for it. We don't have to go into Google and search for our answer. You know, that's my wife started reading a book, Pioneers of Faith, and, you know, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but she talked about some ministers in there that were seeking God, seeking God, seeking God, and all of a sudden, you know, a word, a place came to their mind, came to their spirit, came to their heart, and they're like, I don't even know what that is. Is that a place? And that's a place. Well, this was like late 1800s, early 1900s. I don't even know where that place is. Where is this place? What continent is it on? What language do they speak? They couldn't just go to Google. They couldn't just type in, you know, Scandinavian, I don't know what country, they couldn't just type it in and say, where is this location? What language do they speak? How do I get there? No. They had to consult the Holy Spirit. They had to find people who knew about the world. They had to go and they had to take out books. They had to study. They had to do all of these things in order to fulfill the plan of God. The blessing was right there in front of them. God gave them that word. They had to seek it out. Wow, what if we didn't have Google to answer all of our questions? What if we didn't have WebMD to answer our questions about the pain that we got going on our leg? What else would you do? You'd have to go to God. You'd have to go to the Word, and the Word is your answer every single time. By his stripes, I am healed. It doesn't matter what it is. I am healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And some of you might know where I'm going here. Hallelujah. God is so good. He didn't make it hard. He didn't make it hard for us. You know, some people think that living the life for God is hard. You know, they say, oh, God works in mysterious ways. I don't know about that. You know, seriously, I don't know where you're coming from that God works in mysterious ways. He reveals his secrets to his prophets. He reveals his secrets to our spirit. He said, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things, the fenced in things which you know not. Yeah. Right? Jeremiah 33:3. Yeah. That's right. He said he would show us great and mighty things that we didn't know. Look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. There's again, that just trumps that whole mysterious ways thing. Right. It's not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither it is beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, we shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee and in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. The word is near you. It's in your heart that you may do it. We don't have to go searching. You know, we don't have to go up to heaven and grab our answer. We don't have to go across the sea to grab our answer. Our word is with us at all times. Our blessing is right there with us at all times. It's in the word. It's in the word. It's in following God. It's in prayer and seeking his face. Wow. Verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land wherever thou go to possess it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He set before life and death, and we have to just choose life. We have to choose the good things, you know, that he sets before us. You know, he's not just sitting there saying, oh, this is your only choice. Your only choice here is just death. No, that's not your only choice. He set before you life and death. And he's saying, choose life. He's saying, my children, choose life. It's easy. Just choose life. It's right in front of you. It's the word of God. Hallelujah. In verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, the Jews had their idea of what they thought the word said about the Messiah. You know, they were expecting a king and got a teacher. You know, they were expecting, a ruler and they got a carpenter in their own eyes. And it's because they didn't choose life. They chose to go based on their own ideas that they had gotten from their own sense knowledge of the word that they had read. You know, they didn't consult that word that was abiding in them. They didn't consult their spirit. They consulted their own opinions and their own ideas that they drew up from, you know, their hours and hours and hours of study. You know, they still do this today, I believe, in Israel, where they have schools set aside where they just literally, they just read the law, just constantly reading it. But it's not feeding them. They're not getting a renewed mind from it, you know, because it's all out of works. It's all out of just get it in me, just so that I know it, but it's not changing them. Wow. We have to be careful to study to be a doer of the word and not a forgetful hearer only, deceiving ourselves. That's James 1:22. You know, actually, I'm going to go ahead and turn there. James 1:22. You don't have to go there. Praise the Lord. Study to be a doer of the word and not a forgetful hearer only. Praise the Lord. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Wow. Do you want to be that way? Do you want to be like the person that just looks in the mirror and then says, oh, there I am, and now I'm going to go and forget it? You know, do you do that with your word time? Do you sit there and meditate in the word and then go off, you know, after your time of meditation and yell at your kids? You know, do you go and get sharp with your spouse? You know, I'm sure we've all been there. You know, it's just the flesh rising. But you don't want to be that way. You don't want to be a forgetful hearer of the word. We can blind ourselves by not looking to the word, you know, or just forgetting it. They formed their own opinions, the Jews, instead of letting the word change them. And that's the important part. They didn't let the word change them. They got all that knowledge in them, but they didn't let it change them. They just thought the knowledge was good enough. They didn't take the time to let it change them. If you want to, you could justify some wrong things in your life based on the word. There's been plenty of people that have done it. You know, people that are against tongues, they can give you all the reasons in the world from the word, from the Bible, that say that that tongues is not for today. But guess what? The devil did that to Jesus as well in Matthew chapter 4. He used the word of God to try to deceive Jesus, didn't he? You know? And that's why it's so important that we are a doer of the word of God, that we draw from that word that's abiding in us, not just from the knowledge that we came up with on our own. You know, it's not just like reading a history book. I think that's what trips a lot of people up. It's not just reading a history book. You're not just learning the facts. You know, honestly, I found this out a few weeks ago. I'm not the best at Bible trivia. I'm not. You know, I'm not the best at Bible trivia. I don't have all the facts. But you know what I do have is, you know, I meditate in the Word. I know the Word. I may not know all the chapter and verse that I want to know, but, you know, just knowing the Word and what it says, you know, that's where you start. Just know the word and know what it says. You know, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. You know, you may not know what verse that is, but go ahead and keep saying it. Eventually you're going to get it, and then it's going to be good. What is that, Philippians 4:19? Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, but see, you know what? You don't have to always know chapter and verse to know to be a doer of the word and to have that word of God abiding in you. You just get it in you, however you got to get it in you, you know? Don't just read through the word. You know, we hear Pastor Tim say this all the time. You know, somebody comes up to him and says, oh, I read the Bible more than you do, Pastor. I've read the Bible more times than you have, Pastor. Good. All right. Sounds great. I bet you that I've got a lot more spiritual things from the word than you do. You know, and that's exactly it. You know, we don't want to just read the word just as a history book. We want to be careful to be doers of the word and everything that's in it. Wow. You know, another example, man, these Jews, these Pharisees were just really messing things up. You know, it's funny, in John 7:52, they said this. They said, no prophet comes from Galilee, speaking of Jesus. Interesting. They're like, no prophet comes from Galilee. What are you talking about? He can't be the prophet. He came from Galilee. There's no prophets from Galilee. Well, it's interesting because there was a prophet that came from Galilee, Jonah. I don't know if you knew that. I had to study that out. There was another prophet from Galilee. There's others that they say might have been. I don't know the reasoning for saying that, but they just had this justification for why they didn't want to believe in Jesus, why they didn't want to take that blessing that was sitting right in front of them and take it into their lives and accept it and say, God, this is your best will for my life. They came up with excuses. They said, oh, this is too weird for me. I can't go that way. Jesus, that's too weird for me. And here's my justification. No prophet ever came from Galilee. No. We have to have faith to be a doer of the word, and we have to apply it. Apply the word of God to your life to get it to abide in you. Make the word a home inside of you so that you can be a doer of it in all that you have. Hallelujah. Are we tender on our heart to what God is trying to tell us? Are we so set in our own ways that we forget to consult with the Holy Spirit? So good. I praise the Lord, it's good. The word says in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. Isn't that true? My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. So if you've got a thought in your mind about what you think that you should do, consult God first. Don't just do it. Consult God first, because it says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Consult God. Don't just think your way through something. Consult God. And you won't miss your blessing if you consult God and consult the Holy Spirit. Again, that's where it tripped up the Jews. They were just thinking their own thoughts, and it tripped them up. They missed their blessing. What else does it say there in the Word? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Sounds like the Word abiding in you, right? With all your heart. That's where the Word abides. And lean not to your own understanding. You know, it is possible, you know, even with lots and lots of study of the word, to have a wrong understanding of the word. There's plenty of people out there. You know, you don't ever want to think that you've arrived and that you just got it down packed. That's a good indication you probably have a wrong understanding of the word of God. Wow. We've all said and done many things that aren't in line with God's plan. Oh, yeah. We've all said it and we've done it. Many, many things that aren't in line with God's plans. We missed our blessing, you know. There may even be things that we're doing now that aren't even in his best plans. Have you checked up lately? Have you gone to God and said, Lord, all that I have is yours. Whatever I'm doing, I'll change it. You know, I really try to do that on a daily basis. I try to go to God and say, I'll go where you want me to go, do what you want me to do, say what you want me to say. You know, if you want me to give money, I'll give money. If you want me to quit my job and go to a different job, I'll do it. If you want me to move, I'll move. Wow. Man, you know, my wife and I did that so much, you know, in years past. You know, not saying that we've arrived or anything. You know, glory to God, we're still learning. But, you know, myself, I did that so much. I just, based on my thoughts, you know, and I missed my blessing. I don't know if you know this. I went to school down in California, Pennsylvania. It's about an hour south of Pittsburgh, and down in Pennsylvania, I like to call it. Yeah. And I was actually going to be studying to be an elementary and special education teacher. You know, it's interesting. I don't know. But that's what I thought. You know, I thought the Lord wanted me to be a teacher, you know. Well, praise the Lord, I'm teaching the word now. I guess I was maybe on a little bit of the right track, but I thought, you know, oh, yeah, I'm going to go teach kids. Nope. Don't think so. You know, I was even a preschool teacher for, I think it was about a year and a half down there. And, you know, I just thought, you know, yeah, I'm hanging the moon. I'm doing the will of God. You know, I had my own plans, and I thought that it was so God. I even prayed, you know, to God about that, you know, about teaching and things. You know, I was, this was back 2010, you know, I was really seeking after God. I was trying to do my best. You know, I did have a sincere heart. I want you to know that. I had a sincere heart about it, but I genuinely missed it. you know, because I was young in the Word. I didn't really know a lot of things, and I had my heart attached to running, too. I was a big-time runner, you know. I had dreams of going to the Olympics, you know, me and my coach in college. He was an Irishman, actually. He's a really, really good man, but we had plans, you know, set out in the future for me to go to the Olympics, running marathons and things. Not God's plan. Not the blessing. Not the blessing. That's right. Wow. You know what? I was going to go to Chicago. I had this big grand plan, you know, because I wanted to serve God. I wanted to do the will of God. And I just thought, you know, I was just zealous for the things of God. And so I was doing it my way. You know, Frank Sinatra. Yeah. I did it my way. And I had this plan. I was going to go to school, get my teaching degree. I was going to move out to inner city Chicago. I was going to buy a warehouse. I was going to start a nonprofit organization. I was going to maybe start a charter school. I had blueprints written. Oh, my God. Let me tell you, I was over the moon with this stuff. And I realize now and today that that wasn't my blessing. If I would have done that, I can guarantee you, and I just know this in my heart, I would have ended up dead. I know, you know, and praise the Lord, I didn't even get close. I didn't even finish school. I didn't have a degree. And, you know, I'm glad I got out of there. God led me out, you know. But I know that if I would have gone that way, I would have ended up dead. Man, inner city Chicago? What was I thinking? Holy cow, man. What was I thinking? You know, but it started. I went on a missions trip to Chicago back in high school, and I worked with the kids out there in Southside Chicago, and I saw a need out there, you know, for just change and stuff, and, you know, so I was just being zealous for God, you know. It's important to know, you know, I just want to make this point. It's important to know that just because you see a need somewhere doesn't necessarily mean it's what God wants you to do. Don't just go based on a need somewhere. Oh my gosh, it's such an easy way to miss it. And I think that I truly believe that that's why I missed it. I saw a need and I was zealous for the things of God and I just wanted to go and fill that need. But I didn't consult God. I didn't consult the Word. You know, I wasn't really, you know, firmly planted in a church. You know, I'd started coming to Family Church before I went to college, but I wasn't firmly planted. I would listen to live streams, but I wasn't firmly planted in the house of God, you know, which is His blessing that's right in front of your face. Glory to God. Get there. You know, moving on, hallelujah, what about my family? You know, we went to Fredonia and we went to college up there. You know, we thought that was the will of God. And, you know, I knew when we walked onto that campus for our campus tour, me and my wife, we were just newly married, and I had this feeling that right down here, and I was just like, something's not right. Now, you know, we continued that semester, but by the end of the semester, we knew we had to get out of there. You know, our finances dried up, you know, things started drying up and things got hard and we just knew we need to get out of there. We need to get back to Jamestown. Yeah. Wow. Praise the Lord that I did. You know, it's funny, right after we left school there, moved back to Jamestown, ended up right after that semester I believe it was in February is when MTC started up. Yeah. Glory to God, following the Spirit. I didn't miss my blessing that was right in front of my face, you know, because I listened to that down on the inside, the Word of God that was dwelling in me saying, don't do that. Don't continue. Man, we said we were always going to be renters. We loved renting. We don't have to take care of anything on our own. You know, we don't have it. You know, if something breaks, they take care of it. You know, don't have to paint. Don't have to do this or that. We thought, oh, we're always going to be renters. It's just nice. It's just good living being renters. You don't have a care in the world. And then, wow, God changed that for us. Praise the Lord. Man, last year, you know, God just all of a sudden put it on my wife's heart. It's time to buy a house. We didn't want it. We weren't seeking after it. You know, all these people are like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get a house. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get a house. And we're just like, cool, that's awesome for you. And then all of a sudden, you know, God just like, got a house for you. I've got a house for you. No money, nothing. We don't have any money. We didn't, you know, credit wasn't too good. And we're just, all right, Lord, we'll believe you for a house. Coming up the following year, this is just 2017, you know, all right, give here, give there, give here, give there. If we wouldn't have given that blessing, we would have missed our blessing. That was our blessing. It didn't seem right in our mind. You know, we didn't have a lot of money to begin with, and God said, go buy a house, and then God said, go give all this money too. It didn't make sense in our head. You know, we could have easily missed our blessing if we just went ahead and said, oh, no, you told us to get a house. We can't give like that. We can't give in that way to these things. You told us to buy a house, Lord. No, that was where our blessing was. Give and it'll be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Without measure shall men pour into your bosom. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for the word. That's the blessing right there, is the word of God. Hallelujah. Man. So, you know what? And you know, that house is coming. You know, praise God, you know, because we've been following him and we've been believing, you know, I don't think I'd be standing here today, you know, ministering the word, because just in the process of believing God for a house, it has grown up my faith, my wife's faith so much. It's grown us up in the word. It's grown us up in things of the spirit, because it takes a lot to believe God for a house, especially when you didn't even want it for yourself in the first place. You got to get that desire in you. You know, sometimes God will give you something and you don't even have a desire for it, and you got to get that desire into you yourself. And it'll grow you up real fast. You know, I like one thing that Pastor Nancy said. She says, you know, some people say that, oh, I don't need a nice house, or I don't need a house. Well, you need to believe God for a house so that you can know how to believe God for the church. If you don't know how to believe God for your own stuff, how are you going to believe God for the projects that the churches have? That's right. So right. Praise the Lord. How are we going to believe God for the things that Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie are believing for if we don't even know how to believe for our own? You know, and that's where me and my wife are at. It was just about a year ago, is, you know, not saying that, you know, we weren't using our faith, but our faith needed to be upped some more. It needed to be upped some more, and that was part of that blessing. The blessing in front of us was God saying, go and believe for a house. And that was the blessing that was right in front of us. We could have said, no, no, no. We've said that we don't want to buy a house. We've said that we don't want to go that way. We said we just want to be renters. And we would have missed our blessing. We would have missed the blessing that was right in front of our face. Glory to God. And it's all coming to pass. You know, we're in the house now. You know, we haven't closed or anything yet, but it's all coming to pass. Amen. Glory to God. And it's been so good just following God in that, because it's grown our faith. You know, we've had to walk out on the water a little bit in faith, you know. Glory to God. Wow. We cannot get stuck in what we think God leads us to. What did he lead us to do? Do you know what God led you to do? I mean, do you really know what God led you to do? Each and every one of us has a purpose. You know, our purpose isn't just to warm a seat in the church building. That's not our purpose, just to warm a seat in the church building. Each and every one of us has a purpose. I believe it was just Wednesday night, I think Pastor Tim, or maybe it was Sunday, Pastor Tim was talking about, I don't remember the words specifically, but it was along the lines of getting in your place because there's new families that are going to be coming into the church. Getting into your place because so that you can know and you can be a part of that and you can help them get established. We all have a part to play. Do you know what your part is? You better know it, and you better learn it. It comes by getting in the Word of God, studying and meditating. It comes by seeking God in prayer. Wow. Praise the Lord. The blessing is right in front of us, but we're too caught up in our own thoughts and plans to recognize it. Man. What about when we have a situation come up in life? Bills to pay, anything like that. What if we have just a desire? Have we asked God about it? Have you ever taken the time to consult the Word, or are we just quick to jump on it? Man. So I'm going to give you a few things on how to identify the blessing that's right in front of you. Got to check my time here. Praise the Lord. And number one is, does it line up to the Word of God? Does this thing in front of your face, does it line up to the Word of God or not? Apply it to see. You got to apply that thing to see it. We have to be filled with the Word and have it abiding in us if we're going to know this. Apply the Word to that thing that's come up, that situation that's come up. Does it fit? Does it apply? Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." That's it. Renew your mind by the Word of God so that you can know what is His good, acceptable, and perfect will. You do that by taking the Word and you put it on your situation, or you put it on that thing that's sitting in front of you, and does it line up? Does it line up to that? That's right. Wow. I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 20. And, you know, in talking about does it line up to the Word of God, you know, sometimes we just have to be a good listener. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 1. Moses sometimes wasn't a very good listener. Mighty man of God, but, you know, and praise God, you know, obviously. But here's an instance where Moses, you know, he didn't apply the Word in the exact way that God intended. Be a good listener, Moses. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 1, says, "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried. And there was no water for the congregation." Oh boy, no water. What's going to happen now? "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron." Why don't we have any water? Oh my gosh, they saw the miracles, they saw the signs and wonders, they saw, you know, the fire and the cloud, and they're just like, "We don't have water, what are we going to do?" Oh my goodness. "And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there?" Man, so flesh-minded. Just not even thinking about the things that they had seen. They missed their blessing so many times out there. You know, they had it right there in front of them, and they just, it's just like they became dull to it. They didn't even care. They just became spiritually dull to it. You know, the signs and wonders and miracles, and it didn't even have an effect on them. You know, is that happening to you? Is the word becoming dull to you so it has no effect on your life anymore? Don't let it. Don't let it turn that way so that you start, you know, if something comes up and you're lacking, that you just say, "Lord, why did you do this to me? Why don't I have enough?" Well, I gave you my word. The blessing is right in front of you. Go to it. Man, glory to God. Hallelujah. "And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them." Well, praise the Lord for that. Glory to God that there were two men that were willing to seek God. You know, two men that were willing to get on their face and seek out the word, seek out the plans. Hallelujah. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying," the Lord spoke, so that's the word of God. They didn't have, you know, a written word like we have it today. So that was their word. That was their instruction, and they had to listen. "Take the rod and gather the assembly together, thou Aaron and thy brother." So that was instruction number one. Take the rod and gather the assembly together. "And speak to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rocks, so that the congregation and their beasts shall drink." So he said, take the rod and gather the assembly and speak to the rock. That was the word. That was the word of God to their life. That was their blessing. "And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him." So he got that. He has the rod. "And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them," wait, said unto who? Did he say unto the rock? No, he said unto the people. Did God tell Moses to speak to the people? No, he said speak to the rock. So he took the rod. That was good. But then he spoke to the people. God said speak to the rock. "And he said unto them, Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch your water out of this rock?" So he's chastising them. He's getting a little bit cocky with them. He's saying, listen, God's going to supply. Well, yeah, but you didn't obey the word of God, that was the blessing that was right in front of your life. "And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beast also." Wow. This is important. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Oh my goodness. They missed out on so much because they didn't take that blessing that was right in front of them and apply it exactly as God said. The blessing was right in front of them. It was a very simple and clear instruction. You know, right from God himself in the presence of the Lord, the glory showed up, and they missed it. You know, I'm not getting critical of them. You know, we've all missed it. You know, but we need to take those examples and learn from them. Don't just go ahead and just take that blessing and just do it your own way. You don't want to do that. Now, praise the Lord. You know, God is faithful. You know, he still performed that miracle even though they didn't do it perfectly right. You know, and of course we have to realize, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10:22 it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. Not all things are helpful. So, yeah, it worked, but it wasn't helpful for him. It wasn't helpful for him and Aaron. Wow. You know, another example here of, you know, lining up to the word of God is Israel got themselves caught up in thinking that the world had it better than them. You know, that they wanted to be more normal. You know, they were a theocracy, God is the ruler, you know, and that's talked about in Judges. You know, the Judges even said to Israel, they said, where is it? Glory to God. in Judges 8:23, one of the judges, I don't remember his name, but he said that it is not I who rules over you, but it is God who rules over you. That was God's highest and best for Israel. But they started seeing some other things and you know, other nations, and they're like, we want to be like them. We're so weird over here with God as our ruler. We want a king. Oh my goodness. Go ahead. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 8. We're going to look at another example here of, you know, if it lines up to the word of God or not. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's funny, I see quite a common thread here among the Israelites. Here we go in verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came unto Samuel. They keep gathering together to go to a leader of you know, Israel. You know, it's just like, come on, you always got to complain about something? Man. And said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. Wow, they wanted a king like all the other nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. So that's good. Samuel sought God on this. But Samuel knew the word. Samuel knew that this, already knew that it wasn't God's highest and best. He was just trying to get the word on this from the Lord so that he could consult back with them. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say to thee, for they have not rejected you, but they've rejected me, that I should not reign over them. That's right. They rejected God as their ruler. And going down to verse 9, howbeit you protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the kings that shall reign over them. Isn't God merciful? The blessing was right in front of them, and he made it plain and clear. He said, this is your blessing. Right now, your blessing is right in front of you as a theocracy, as Israel as a theocracy. I'm going to show you what's going to happen to you, and it's not a blessing if you take a king as your ruler. And this is verse 11. And he said to the people, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. Verse 12, and he will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, and will set them to ear his ground or to till his ground. Wow. And to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war, and to make instruments of his chariots, all for the king. What are they giving up? They don't even realize it. They don't even care. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and he will give them to his servants. Oh my God, what is wrong with it? They're sitting, the blessing is right in front of them. God is making it so abundantly clear what the blessing is, and they don't even care. They don't even care. And he will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He was saying, you know, once you appoint a king as your ruler, there's going to be more taxes to pay. There's going to be more bills to pay if you do this. Isn't that true for us? Sometimes if we try to do it our own way, it ends up costing a lot more in the long run. So true. You don't want to miss the blessing because it's going to cost you. Wow. And in verse 18, and you shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you shall have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Wow. They just wanted to be like other nations, and they missed God. They had their own thoughts in their head about what they thought things should be like, and they just totally missed the blessing. You know, they went to Samuel. I guess they did a little bit of consulting with the prophet, but when the prophet came back and told them what the highest and best was, they're just like, eh, I don't care. They didn't care. They didn't care. Wow. Man, oh man, oh man. God, because of his covenant, keeps the nation going with kings, but they faced hardship because they aren't in his perfect will. What is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life? You need to be in that way. You know, God can bless you up to a point, and he did Israel. You know, he preserved them so that, you know, the Messiah could come in, you know, but they went through a lot more hardship than they had to. That's right. Do you want to put yourself through a lot more hardship than you have to? Just because you're going to miss your blessing? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The blessing is right here for us too. How many times have we heard Pastor Tim and others talk about people leaving the church for a new job because they hit a trial and they thought their way out of it? You know, they hit money issues and they say, oh, got to move to North Carolina. How many times has North Carolina come up? You know, it seems to be always North Carolina people are moving to. I think I know a few people that have moved down to North Carolina, not from the church, but it seems to always be North Carolina. I don't know what it is about North Carolina, but North Carolina is not where your blessing is. if God planted you here, if this is where your roots are, don't uproot yourself and try to go and root yourself somewhere else. You know what? I love this. Lord gave this to me years ago, this example. You know, I don't know if I was being tempted to leave the church or what it was, but it just came into my heart, and it was, I'm not a gardener by any means, just so you know. But, you know, if you leave a plant in the ground, it's stable. You're good to go. But sometimes you think, oh, well, maybe this will look a little bit better over here. Well, you better be careful. Anytime that you uproot something, even if it's a good plant to uproot, anytime you uproot that and replant it into different ground or in a different location, you chance killing that thing. Do you want to take that chance with your life? Oh my goodness. Do you want to take that chance of uprooting yourself and saying, oh, I think I need to go over here because this is where I think my blessing is. Do you even want to take that chance? If you've already got firm roots deep into the ground at this church, do you even want to take that chance of uprooting yourself, pulling yourself away from the streams of living water to go and bring yourself and plant yourself somewhere else where you got to grow new roots? It's not worth it. Let me tell you, it's not worth it. Do you want a chance death on your life? And I'm not talking about, you know, you actually losing your life. But a lot of times when somebody uproots themselves, or a lot of times when somebody gets out of the plans of God, you know, death comes to them. It's not in the form of physically lacking a pulse, but it's in the case of sickness, disease, poverty, depression, anxiety. All of those things are death in your life, you know. Glory to God. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to kill, to make you dead. But he doesn't have to take your life to do it. He just has to put you on the sick bed. He just has to burden you down with depression and anxiety. That's all he's got to do. That's it. Don't uproot yourself. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing to do, to uproot yourself. Man, oh man, oh man. So many people do it just so nonchalant. You know, they're just church hopping. They never get good roots down into the ground. Man, it's not a good thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When we get tested, when something comes on us, when we have a trial, we have a choice. We can either do the blessing that's right in front of us, and a lot of times it's just doing the word. We can go to prayer, or we can make up things in our own mind. We have a choice. Are you going to choose the blessing that's right in front of you? It's so easy. It's so easy. It's right there. Just apply it. Just apply it. That's all you got to do. Number two on how to identify the blessing. Hallelujah. Do you have peace in that direction? I mean, that's easy enough. Do you have peace? Wow. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:7. It says, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Act as an umpire. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and turn there. Colossians 3:15. Praise the Lord. This is just so good. God is so faithful. The word is always good. And so good to be here with a family tonight. Praise the Lord. Rooted in the word of God, rooted in the church. In front of our blessing right here. You know, I'm not me personally. I want you to think that, you know. But the word of God, you know, it, being in the church, it's your blessing. Hallelujah. Colossians 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Hallelujah. To which you are also called in one body, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. The word rule there in verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, it means act as an umpire. An umpire in a baseball game or softball game, he calls them safe or calls them out. That's what the Spirit of God does for you. Hallelujah. That's what the peace of God does for you. It calls you safe or it calls you out. You take a step this way, am I safe or am I out? If you're out, you better get back. Better get back to the other side. Well, if you go too far, am I safe or am I out? You're out, you better get back. Okay, here's my safe ground. This is where I'm at. My blessing is right here. This is where I need. And sometimes we just have to take those steps towards an avenue and just test the waters. Don't dive into it full force, you know. Test the waters a little bit sometimes and see if you have peace in that direction. You know, don't be afraid to do that. You go and test the waters, see if you have peace in that direction. You know, I've done that many times in my life with things where I've started heading towards a certain direction, and I know for a fact that the Lord, if it's not his will, he's not going to just leave this peace. He's not going to leave me in peace. there's going to be something telling me don't do it. Man, glory to God. There's no way the Israelites felt peace about setting a king over them. There's no possible way that they could say, oh yeah, I had peace in my heart about that. They couldn't walk around their nation and say, oh yeah, this new king, I've got peace about this. Because in the back of their head, all those things are just churning. Eventually, the heart is going to get hardened to it. You know, they're going to sear their conscience to it. You know, like you sear a steak. You ever have somebody sear a steak and they cook it too much and then it gets tough? It's like, you know, it's like not even worth eating anymore. You know, it gets so tough, it's, you know, you ruined it. You can do that to your conscience. You can make it so tough that it's not responsive to the voice of God anymore. It's not responsive to the things that you need to know anymore. Don't go that way. Hallelujah. It's so much about peace and about being led. They will be led forth with peace. Isaiah 55:12. God promised to lead us forth with peace. He will do it. So just check your peace. Do you have peace in that direction? Hallelujah. Number three, have you even taken the time to pray and ask God about it? A situation comes up in life. Have you taken the time to ask God about it? You know, we talk about Jonah. You know, a situation came up in his life. The word of the Lord came to him and said, go to Nineveh. You know, you, those of you with your, what is it, Veggie Tales? Nineveh? Yeah. Nineveh? The situation came to Jonah, and instead of consulting God about it, he fled. He's like, I'm not going there. I'm going to find my first boat out of this place, and I'm heading away from Nineveh, getting as far away from there as I can. He didn't even take the time to ask God about it. He took his own thoughts, his own ideas, and said, I'm not going to that place. He didn't even consult God about it. Oh my gosh, that's such a dangerous place. And you know the trial that he went through, you know, the storm on the boat, being thrown overboard, eaten by a fish. Hallelujah. Now eventually he made it. He repented. He got to Nineveh, you know, did the will of the Lord there. But he went through a lot of trials because he missed the blessing that was right in front of his face. He didn't take that word of God that God sent to him and apply it to his situation. Wow. The situation came to Moses and Aaron, and they prayed and they listened. They did. So they did. They sought God and they talked to God about it, but they didn't follow through with it exactly what he said. We need to make sure that we're not just doing part one of just praying and seeking, but we need to then do with that. The situation came to Saul, you know, the Israelites came to him, and Saul prayed and listened, and he did what God told him to do. God told him to go and say what the evil is going to be that's going to come on Israel if they do this thing. Samuel even knew it wasn't right, and he could have just told them no. He could have just flat out said, no, I'm not even going to consult God about that because I know it's not the word of God. But Samuel was a spiritual man, and he wanted to know what God had to say about it. He wanted the voice of God to be speaking to them so that they couldn't go back and say, oh, Samuel, you missed it. No, it was the voice of God speaking to them. Samuel took that time. You want to make sure that you take that time to seek out God, seek out his word, so that you don't even question it anymore if whether it's God's blessing or not. So true. Hallelujah. God wanted to reveal some things to them, you know, and so praise the Lord that Samuel took that time to pray and seek God about it. In some situations, you know, it is important to know that we may not know what to do instantly. Others may take some time of seeking God, but either way, the blessing is right there for you to lay hold of. Now, sometimes, you know, we might come and there's a bill in our mailbox that we weren't expecting, you know, a large bill. And, you know, we're saying, Lord, I need the blessing. I need the blessing. And, you know, the blessing's right in front of you. Well, you say, well, I didn't get a check in the mail right behind that one. I didn't open up another envelope and find a check to cover it. Well, maybe that's not your blessing. Well, did you talk to God about it? Or are you just expecting it just to show up? You need to take the time and consult God and ask him about it. Sometimes God might say, seek me, pray a little while. I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you to go start a business. I'll tell you to go do this or go do that. Sometimes they'll just say, just put more word on it. Just keep speaking the word. It's going to be different in each and every situation, you know. But the answer is always there. It's always there. If you don't have the physical answer right there in front of you, like I was talking about the check in the mail to cover that, there's always an answer there, though. Prayer, the word, seek God, and you will know your answer, and you won't miss your blessing. That's right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You just need to know it so that you can lay hold of it. The blessing is, say this with me. Say, the blessing is right in front of me. That's right, and it's always there. You always have your answer. You don't have to fight in war to try to find out your answer. You don't even have to go to Google to try to find out your answer. Praise the Lord. Number four is so important. And oh my gosh, this one, does it keep you close to your covenant responsibility in God's plan? That's a good one. Does it keep you close to your covenant responsibility in God's plan? So it's talking about things like God, family, church, you know, etc. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." Seek first the kingdom of God. That's right. You know, we just talked about Jonah. You know, God told him to go to Nineveh. But instead, he went away from his covenant responsibility as prophet of God, and he did his own thing. You know, the people that leave the church, you know, to go and take a new job somewhere, you know, they're leaving their covenant responsibility. Oh, this is another one. Hallelujah. We decide to get our kids involved in certain activities, and it takes us away from our covenant responsibilities in the church. Or it takes us away from our covenant responsibilities in our own home when we take more hours at work. Yeah. And, you know, that's a little bit tough for me to say, but it's true. It will. Do not miss your blessing by doing something that takes you away from your covenant responsibilities, whether it's in the church, whether it's in your home, your family. You want to do everything that will keep you as close as possible to your covenant responsibilities. You know, when we first came back to Jamestown, you know, after we moved here from Fredonia, I took a job as a Schwann's man, you know, delivering the frozen foods, you know, door to door. And that was some long hours, let me tell you. 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. So basically you wake up in the morning, you know, you have time to eat breakfast, you go out to the depot and you get in your truck and you're out there from 9 o'clock in the morning. Even if you get your route done at 7, they said, "Nope, get back out there and start knocking on doors." Oh my gosh. You know, I did that for a few months and it was good pay. It was actually, it's funny, it was the most money that I've ever made to date in my life working that job. It was good. It was good money. It's the most money I've ever earned to date in my life. But it took me away from my covenant responsibilities. I was away from my wife. I was, church on Wednesdays. You know, I had to make a way so that I could get here, you know, at church on Wednesday nights. And it was really tough. Really, really tough. And praise the Lord that I didn't miss my blessing, because I just started consulting God. You know, I talked to my pastor and, you know, decided, hey, it's time for me to go. You know, it's time for me to go. It's too much stress on my wife, on my family. And I'm like, it's time to go. And praise the Lord that I did that, because after that, it was literally, I gave my 2 weeks notice, and it was a few days after that, I think Reverend Tony emailed me and said, "Hey, do you want to be a part of the worship team?" or something along those lines. Well, if I was still going to be working that job, there's no way that I would have been able to do that. I would have missed out on my covenant responsibilities that God had for me, God's plan for my life, if I would have just said, "Nope, this is good money. Nope, I'm going to keep doing this because it's good money." And I had my own thoughts and my own ideas, but praise the Lord, I didn't do that. Glory to God that I followed peace. You know, the job that I took after that, it was almost half of what I was making at Schwann's. And, you know, it's so funny because working at Schwann's, I felt like we never, ever, 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 ever had any money. You know, it was the most money that I've made to date, and it never felt like we had any money. You know, I remember times sitting there, and I remember one time sitting in our car crying. We were crying because we had no food. My wife was pregnant. We had no food in our cupboards. We had bills to pay, and we had to make a decision. Are we going to go to the store and buy food, or are we going to pay our electric bill? And I remember sitting, we were making the most money we ever had. And you know, just the word came to me, you know, the Lord's never seen his righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. So, you know, and I'm not criticizing this. It's a good program. We didn't go to the food stamps. You know, we thought that. We said, do we go sign up for food stamps? We said, we're not going to go and sign up for food stamps because God said, you know, that he never seen his righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. If you have to go to that, praise the Lord for it, that it's there, you know, and it helps people. I'm not condemning you for doing that. But for us personally, in our heart, we knew that wasn't the way. We had the word, and we said, nope, we have money in our possession, so we're going to go and buy food. We had the money in our possession, so we went and bought food. That was our blessing right there in front of us. Our blessing right there was just go buy food. Go buy the food that you need for your household, feed your family. I'm going to take care of the rest. That was our blessing. Or we could have chose the anti-blessing and gone and, you know, done what God told us not to do in going to get food stamps and paying the bill, and then probably that would have led to a whole another line of things that could have happened. Wow. Man, and then I went to that new job, and, you know, things started taking off. You know, we were making the least money, you know, and then I was, but we were living better. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. You know, getting back, getting close to my covenant responsibility with God, more time with my family, more time in the church, you know, able to be at special meetings, you know, because special meetings were coming up at that time, able to be in those special meetings. Praise the Lord. Does it keep you close to your covenant responsibility and God's plan? Hallelujah. That's so important. So I wanted to talk about this. What about a situation that comes up with sickness or mental illness or something in your life? Well, what's your answer there? Well, let me tell you, you know, it's going to be different. You know, a lot of times we just want to go ahead and just run right to the Word and confess. But did we consult God? If there's a symptom on your body, you know, especially if there's a major symptom on your body, you know, maybe you got a poor diagnosis from the doctor, but did you consult God on that thing? Did you go to God and say, Lord, this is what's going on in my life. What should I do about it? Should I believe you to heal this? You know, is there something hidden in my life that I don't know about that caused this? Or do I just need to go to the doctor and have it treated? Do I need to take medicine to have it treated? Have you ever stopped and thought for a moment, I have a blessing that's sitting right in front of me, but it's not always the way that you think it is? You know, and we need to be sure to do that. You know, I think I talked about that with our poverty. You know, if poverty comes onto you, take a minute to sit down and listen to what God has to say to you about it. You know, earlier this year, 2017, we were getting ready, you know, we're like, okay, we're gonna have to make an offer on a house, but we don't have enough money to make an offer on a house even. We didn't even have that much money to put money, you know, in order for an earnest money to put for an offer. And so we were sitting there, we're thinking, and I was just, you know, getting quiet for a minute. And something that's always been on my heart is selling cars, buying and reselling cars. I know a lot about vehicles and car models and brands. I can, you know, tinker and fix things. And God's like, sell a car. You've always had it in your heart to sell a car. Go sell a car. So that's exactly what I did. We took the last. I guess I should say this: we had money in our account to do it, but we knew it wasn't, you know, it wasn't going to be the right amount, and it was going to leave us short. And, you know, long story short, I went and I took that money that we had, and I went and I sold the car and doubled my money. Praise the Lord, because I followed what God had for me to do. Now, in another situation, you know, if we were coming up short, God might say, okay, go and give this money to this person. Go and give this money to that person. Or, you know, he might say, hey, I've got another job for you over here. But did we take the time to consult God on it? Don't miss your blessing because you forget to consult God on it. Don't miss your blessing because you didn't look to the Word and see what God has for you in that situation. When dealing with sickness, medicine is a good thing. Praise the Lord. God, you know, God gave us medicine for a purpose. You know, sometimes he wants us to take medicine, sometimes he doesn't. It's going to be different in each and every situation. Don't just listen, you know, we love our brothers and sisters in Christ here at the church, but don't just listen to them, you know, and what they say. Talk to God. You know, you're dealing with something in the church, you know, don't just listen to somebody that says, oh, just use your faith. Well, what if God told you to take medicine for it? Don't miss out on that blessing because you decided to listen to somebody else or listen to your own thoughts or reason it out on your own. Talk to God about it. You know, we just need to humble ourselves and just be willing to just go to God and say, Lord, whatever you'd have me to do, I'll just do it. You know, we need to be in that place to just say, I just want this out of my life. However you want, I will do it. You know, and a great example of that was when my son was born. My wife was struggling with some symptoms in her body, you know, and I don't know if a lot of people know this. After Briar was born, her heart rate jumped up and was like sitting at like 160 constantly. Over one night, it spiked up to 220. Oh my gosh, they had to start and stop her. They had to stop and restart her heart. I mean, that was tough. That was tough. But the blessing was right in front of us, you know. Yeah, we stayed in faith. But our faith didn't look like what a lot of people might think it did. You know, we had talked to Pastor Katie. My wife talked to Pastor Katie, and Pastor Katie said something really good. And she said, what are you believing for? She didn't just say to us, keep speaking faith at it, keep speaking the word at it, keep claiming scriptures over it. No, what are you believing for? And we were believing that the doctors that have wisdom and knowledge, and that they would be able to figure out what was going on, and that they would be able to take care of that thing, and praise the Lord. That's what happened. But you see, it isn't always what you just think it's going to be. It's not always just a one-size answer fits all. Your blessing is always right in front of you, but you need to consult God to know what that blessing is. You need to follow the Spirit to know what that thing is. I love this example. In 1 Kings 19, I'm going to go ahead and turn there. You can go ahead and turn there if you want. This actually, I just learned of this scripture not too long ago. And it was really kind of funny to me. Praise the Lord. And we're getting ready to close here. Hallelujah. Hope I'm not keeping you too long. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So this is Elijah's escape from Jezebel in 1 Kings 19. And so Jezebel was after Elijah's life, you know. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's." Man, it's tough. He was just ready to give up, give in. He was just ready to say, "I'm done. I'm just throwing in the towel." But listen, look at what God led him to do. Look at what God provided for him. It might not be what you think it is. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." Get up and eat. Eat some food. Do something natural. Interesting. And he looked, and behold, and there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. Wow. So he ate some food and he slept. That was the most spiritual thing that he could do in that very moment. Oh my God. Sometimes that's just what we need. We just need to eat some food and we just need to take a nap. That's so true. It's the most spiritual thing that you can do. But sometimes we just totally miss our blessing that's sitting right in front of us. It's so easy to do because we think we've got it figured out. We don't consult our Heavenly Father who knows all things, who knows how to fix things in our life. Instead, we just think we've got it figured out. But no, he's just like, "No, just go take a nap, eat some food, you'll be all right." It's that easy. It is so, so easy. I'm just like, oh my goodness. Now again, this isn't going to be the answer for every situation, but we need to be willing to go to God and just do whatever he has for us. Just be willing to just put your flesh under and do whatever it is that God has you to do. If you're struggling with something, talk to God and say, "Just what would you want me to do?" And he might tell you, "Just eat some food and take a nap. Wake up and you'll be just fine." It's so true. You know, I think that's something that Pastor Nancy said to one of the ministers that was going through something. What recreation do you like? What's something that you like to do? "Well, I like to go fishing." You know, he's struggling financially. "Well, go fishing." You know, do something natural. Sometimes you just got to do something natural. God will lead you to those things. God, if you don't have anything natural that you enjoy in life, God will lead you to those things. You know, he'll give you hobbies to enjoy in life so that you can, you know, just have times of peace and of rest. But we've got to take that time to follow God and to know his word, to not miss that blessing in front of our lives. Hallelujah. I just wanted to see if there's anything else that I'm missing here. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Even when we face a great trial in life or just a seemingly small decision, our blessing is always right in front of us if we would only look to God instead of our own thoughts and ideas. Just toss out what you think you know. Just toss out what your ideas are and what your plans are, and just get with God and know what he wants you to do. It's as simple as that. It's simple. It's simple. Let's say this again. Say, "The blessing is right in front of me, and it's easy." Praise the Lord. God said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's right. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:20, "I have an unction from the Holy One and I know all things." Thank you, Lord. God is so good. God is so faithful. You know, I believe that I've said everything that I need to say tonight. I hope that my word abides and it's helped you tonight. God is faithful, you know, and I just want everyone to get a hold of that it's so easy to follow God. It's so easy just to know his blessing and to recognize it. Just take these things, apply them to your life. Take the word and apply it to your situation and find out if it fits. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Brad.
Word of God. Amen. The word is good, isn't it? I like what Salvante was saying there, even at the beginning. I know that's one of my prayers of committal. Hey, if you want me to go to the inner cities of Chicago, hey, I'll do it. Detroit, whatever, you know, because to me, that's like, put me anywhere. You know, Illinois would be good because we can go west a couple hours and get into the Muy Grandes, you know, the big bucks there. That's the land of the giants for hunting deer, so that would have its perks. But I'll tell you, the one advantage that we have, Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you know, Savante said something at the beginning about Googling everything in this technology age that we're in. But I'll tell you, there's no anointing button there. There's no Holy Ghost button there. And wisdom will bring you to a place. In business, there's heathen business people that have arrived to a place where wisdom has brought them. And wisdom has its benefits. The whole book of Proverbs, in all you're getting, wisdom being the principal matter. He says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom will bring you to levels and places, and we should seek and desire wisdom. But where wisdom and knowledge leaves off, the Holy Ghost brings you into those things. That's what separates the Christian from the natural world. You remember Savanti was talking about those things, and that's why it's so important to have that wisdom, because the Word of God is right in front of you, the promise is right in front of you, but you need the Holy Ghost to lead you into those things. And I like this verse over here in Ephesians, in the 13th, first chapter, the 13th verse, it says, in Him you also have heard the Word of truth, or the gospel, the word, the glad tidings, the gospel of your salvation, and you have believed and adhered to and relied on Him, were stamped with the seal of the long-promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14 says, that Spirit that you've been stamped with, the Holy Spirit, that Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge, the foretaste, the down payment on our heritage, and anticipation of its full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of His glory. He says, you've heard the word, but it takes the Holy Ghost as the guarantee to your inheritance, or the guarantee to the word or the promise that He has. And that's what Savante was saying. Hey, I had that leading to sell a car. I had the leading. Why? Because the Holy Ghost will bring in the manifestation and help you to walk in the fullness of those promises. And I'm telling you, that's what separates us. You think of, you remember Simon the Sorcerer. You know, there was knowledge that he had in the book of Acts, I believe it's the 8th chapter, when they were laying hands on people and they were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And he says, I see the manifestation of this power that exceeds my knowledge. It exceeds my wisdom. How much do you want for this power? And he tried to pay him. And he says, you know, your money perish with you. You remember some of those things that they tried to acquire. Same thing with Peter in the Old Testament. Jesus says, who do you say I am? And he says, I say that you're the Son of God. And he said, blessed are you. He says, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Father. In other words, you tapped into the Spirit. You tapped into another realm that brought the manifestation of the promise that was right in front of you. Amen. So the God is good. I like what Savanti was saying. It's easy. Why? Because it's right there on the inside of you. But there's no Google or no internet or no device that will get that leading of the Holy Ghost for you. I wish I could press a button. I wish I could go online and all of a sudden my answer would fall right in my lap. No, it doesn't work that way. I got it right here on the inside of me. And the Holy Ghost, my teacher, is good to lead me and guide me and instruct me into that promise that's right before me. Amen. So it inspired me. Thank you so much, Savante. It was an honor to hear you minister the Word of God. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take up an offering. It's good to honor the Lord with our substance. We know that the seed that we sow into good ground. We know that harvest is imminent. Ushers, if you'll come forward at this time. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We're so honored to give to you, to honor the Word of God, honor this gathered place. knowing that we have a special place, your house, where we can bring our tithes and our offerings. And as we give, is given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into our bosom. So we thank you for doors of opportunity to come unto us. We thank you for angels to go, cause men to pour into our bosoms. We say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you take your hands off our material possessions, you take your hands off our finances, and we thank you for the ministering spirits that bring them in our direction. Father, we give you the praise and glory for everything said, everything done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Well, glory to God. It's always good to be here corporately in the corporate anointing. It's good to be sharpened. It's a good place to be under the word of God, so we get an opportunity to be a doer and not just a hearer, like Savante had mentioned over there in the book of James. So praise the Lord. Hey, now that the ushers are working their way by, why don't we go ahead? Why don't we stand to our feet? And let's just worship the Lord one last time before we dismiss here today. Father, we bless you, we thank you, we glorify you. We're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful for you. Father, we thank you for your word. We leave changed and we leave a doer of it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory to God, you are dismissed.